Beautiful. Brilliant stuff. Very good. So, excited this morning. There's a little bit of a theme going on this morning. So we've spoken to Ed and Annabelle about their role overseeing Grow as for One Church Bristol, which I'm excited for that. You know, this idea of the Live Big Pathway, Encounter, Grow, Go, isn't just a great idea from One Church. It's not just kind of like a clever kind of way of saying things. It's all through the Bible. Encounter, Grow, Go. Encounter, Grow, Go. Right from Genesis, there's encounter with God. There's growth that's happening, and there's a sense of purpose happening, okay? Encounter, Grow, Go has been there from the beginning. It's just our way of describing it. It's our way of saying, that's what being a Christian is. We're having encounters with God. We're continually being, we believe in the Holy Spirit and in the power of those encounters with him that really bring life and restoration to us. But we also really believe in growing, that God, we're not born again suddenly to adult, mature Christianity. We're not born again, just like you're not born an adult, you're born a baby. We're not born again an adult either. We're born again, but there's just tons of growing to be done throughout our lives, and God wants to do things to grow us. He wants to stretch us. He wants to expand us. Some of that's going to be to do with knowledge. Some of that's going to be to do with faith and experience. Some of that's to do with character and habits and behavior. Some of that is to do with relationships with one another. But there's so many areas that God is just looking to expand us in and grow us into so that we can become who he's called us to be. We say live big, okay? Live who God called you to be. And go is throughout the Bible. Yeah, Ed just used that analogy of the tree about it becoming something that others can nest in. There's this idea that we grow so that we can help others, serve others, bring others into the kingdom of God. We have a mission. We have a sense of purpose. So Encounter, Grow, Go is all through the Bible. It's what we do at One Church. And our encouragement every time we gather is, where's your encounter? Where is your grow? And where is your go? Three things. I want you to remember this. Am I encountering? That typically is our Sunday services. It's when we gather together like this to worship God, that's an encounter opportunity. And so we take those really, really seriously. I think that's something that's really important part of your Christian life. If you stopped encountering God, it would really impact negatively those other areas of your Christian life. Some people can take or leave church on a Sunday. I can't. Unless I am very sick or on holiday, I am here. Not because of a duty or a sense of religion, but because encounter is so important to my own faith life. I am refreshed when I'm here with you on a Sunday worshiping. I may be the one preaching, but I still hear from God when I'm here with you on a Sunday morning. So encounter is such an important part of our lives. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect encounter. Don't neglect this sense of kind of together worshiping God. That's really important. But it just as important is grow. Just as important is growing, for my faith to grow, for my faith to become what God has purposed it to be. I've got to grow personally and invest in myself. The Bible says, seek wisdom, seek knowledge. If it's the only thing you do, seek wisdom. In other words, be a person that's just wanting to grow, be teachable, be somebody that's wanting to grow. And lastly, you need to have where's your grow? Where's your go? A place you can serve, a place you can act out on what God is called you to, discovering passions and gifts and just places to serve that can make a difference. If you've got an encounter, you've got to grow, you've got to go. You're on the Live Big pathway. And if you keep doing that year in, year out, consistently, you are going to live big. Live bigger than you would without it. Does that make sense? So I just wanted to bring a little attention today to grow. It's often the one that gets neglected. I'll tell you why, because everybody knows about Sunday church encounter. Everybody feels it's important to go and do something practical with your faith. But often the thing we'll neglect will be the grow element. And we'll do that sometimes. And if you look across churches across the nation, I think they would all say that's the challenge. Everybody comes on Sunday, but you put on a grow event, and it's drastically different. Drastically different. I wonder why that is. I want to talk to you about growth for a few minutes because it's something that I'm quite passionate about as well. It tells us this in, you know this passage, Psalm chapter 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight. Say delight. They delight. They love it in the law of the Lord. Now, that seems a little bit like a, what's the word when it's a paradox? I don't know what the word is. It's strange. They delight in the law of the Lord. They delight. They're loving it when they're in the word, when they're growing, when they're in the word of God. They love that. They delight in the law of the Lord. Those people who meditate on it day and night are like trees, thank you, Ed, planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. If we're going to be great at going, at bearing fruit, real, genuine fruit, we first got to be planted by a river and growing. You could call the river encounter. Okay? The river is always flowing, the presence of God. Planted, drawing up nourishment is grow. So that we can be fruitful. Go. Can you see it's all the way through the Bible? So with the tree analogy here, it's that growth comes when we get deeper roots, because deeper roots mean more nourishment, stability in the storms, and ultimately fruitfulness. But for it to grow, has to be near a river. Now, I just want to encourage you with three passages that I think are really important when it comes to the subject of grow. We're going to talk about Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Just put it up there for me. Jesus grew. Jesus took his own growth really seriously. It tells us here, Jesus grew in wisdom, say wisdom, and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Jesus had to grow. Now, as Christians, if Jesus had to grow, then obviously that says probably that I need to grow. We need to be people that are growing. If Jesus had to grow, we have to grow. But what I love about this is that he grew in wisdom. Now, here's a few ways I can point out that Jesus clearly grew. Ready? Firstly, we know that Jesus was multilingual. Lingual. He could speak more than one language. He's already better than me. He's already ahead. He was multilingual. We know that Jesus was a craftsman. He was really good at crafts. He grew in that area. Jesus was a rabbi. Now, if you know anything about what it takes to become a rabbi, it's serious commitment to being a student. From childhood through to adulthood, they would have to, I think it's by the age of 12, do you know, they had memorized the whole of the Old Testament by the age of 12. We're talking a serious commitment to growth and learning, to memorize the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they had to memorize other things. By the time that they were about 18, they would have had such an education, it makes our education look pretty weak, really. But they had to be committed. And many, many, many people, the disciples included, never got that far. They never passed the test. They never made it. But Jesus did. Jesus became a rabbi because of his intent to grow. We know Jesus was a great storyteller. He learned how to do that. Jesus was a master of relationships. He really knew how to do that. So from just those ideas, we can see that he demonstrated cultural wisdom, intellectual wisdom, biblical wisdom, and social wisdom. In other words, he knew the world he was in, he knew his stuff, he knew the scriptures, and he knew people. Did you catch that? If you watch and if you read the life of Jesus, he knew the world he lived in. He knew it really well. He was an expert. He knew his stuff. He knew the scriptures and he knew people. Why? Because Jesus grew in wisdom. He had a desire and an intent to grow himself and he grew in wisdom. So if you look to an example in the Bible of somebody that grew, it's Jesus all over. Jesus didn't just get born and miraculously have a deposit of wisdom given to him by God so that he had a head start on all of us. He didn't. He became who he was because he grew. because he invested in himself. He took his own personal growth really importantly. I think for the church to be relevant in our age, it will need us to be a people that know the world, know our stuff, know the scriptures, and know people. Imagine that church for a moment. Just imagine a church bristling full of people who know the world, who know their stuff, who know the scriptures, and who know people. And they're good at it. They have an answer. They're able to defend. They're able to gently help people and discover truth. They're not ignorant. They're not ignorant of stuff in the world. They're not ignorant of stuff in people's lives. They're not ignorant of the scriptures. But they know it, and it living in them. That person is like the tree where others can come and nest in it. Imagine that church for a moment, a church that actually knows stuff. One of the criticisms of Christians and the criticisms of the church is often that we're all about experience, but we're not switched on. We're almost trying to escape intellect for feeling. But what if we could harness the experience of the river with real wisdom and growth? What would that look like? That'd be unbelievable. That would be an incredible church. That would be a church that prevails over the arguments of the day, a church that prevails over the strongholds, a church that prevails over the ignorance of our culture. It will be a church that prevails by miracles and wisdom, by experience and knowledge, because we know the world, we know our stuff, we know the scriptures, and we know people just like Jesus did. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Like, I'm just picturing that church and saying, like, if we could get even a fraction of the way there, we're going to be in a better place. It's part of the reason why I felt really challenged and led to do the degree that I mentioned earlier on. I've got to lead the way in this, actually. It's got to start with me. And I realized, you know what, I picked up things along the way, but I need to dig deeper. And for me, that's my next step. It might not be the next step for you is to jump into a degree on the subject, but it might be the next step for you to do a little bit more Bible study or join a Grow group or get involved in the Grow program of the church to help you find a space to start growing and learning and asking questions and developing so that you can grow yourself personally. I want to point out the obvious, but Jesus was attractive because he grew. When you find a person of real wisdom, it's really attractive. You're drawn to those people. For the church to become attractive, it's not just going to be about because we're good at putting on barbecues or quiz night. Those are good fun. But if we're really going to be attractive, it'll be because we have answers. Because we have wisdom. Because when people talk to us, we talk to them like nobody else does. We have prophetic wisdom. We have scriptural wisdom. And they're like blown away by it. And it stands out in contrast to this world and how this world is currently trying to operate. Jesus was attractive because he grew, but also Jesus was effective because he grew. The healthier we are, the more we grow. Jesus was fruitful because he was growing himself personally. So for the church to be attractive and the church to be effective, it's got to grow. So verse number one, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew. If there's a reason I can give you to invest in yourself personally, follow Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about? Aren't we Christians? Isn't that following Jesus? The second one is this, Matthew 28:19. Annabelle touched on it earlier. Therefore, it says, therefore go and make, what's the word? Let's say students. Therefore, go and make students of all the nations, students of the kingdom, students of the what it means to follow Jesus and know God, students of the scripture, students of the word, students of life through the perspective of God. We are to be making students or disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We see in the life of Jesus that he gave ministry to the crowds, but he gave intimacy to the disciples. He taught the Sermon on the Mount to the crowds, but in 3 years of intimacy with the disciples, he created world-changing people. Arguably, his greatest work is not the Sermon on the Mount, but the work he did in that small group of disciples. Arguably, that's the most incredible thing Jesus accomplished in 3 years, to take 12 people, or be it 11, one of them didn't turn out that great. 11, even Jesus didn't get it all right. 11 people who had tried the rabbi course, but by the age of 12, everybody knew, and they'd figured out, we're not going to pass this course. Jesus took those guys who had no other option after that course was closed and they failed that test to become basically fishermen and tax collectors, etc. Jesus took that group and in 3 years did what the rabbis couldn't do in the previous 18. In 3 years, discipled them in that small group with intimacy. He used, if you read the New Testament and you just study the way Jesus discipled them, he used a number of different tools. Sometimes he taught them, and it was, this is what you are to believe and think and say. Sometimes he released them and empowered them to do it themselves and learn by experience, didn't he? He used different methods. Sometimes he didn't take them all with him, he'll just take two or three with him. He did different things, but in those different ways, he discipled those 12, those 11, really well. His greatest work was in sharing life, his life, with them. The disciples didn't just believe what the rabbi taught. They were being trained to do what the rabbi did. So if you were learning to be a rabbi, you weren't just listening and having to write essays like a degree based on, okay, I get it, I understand it, therefore I am now a rabbi. No, no, no. You weren't allowed to be a rabbi until you were actively doing the things the rabbi did. So it was like a real active kind of discipling. It wasn't just a theory thing. It was, here is what we do. Here's how to do it. Do it with me. Now go and do it on your own. And there was this real active thing through discipleship that happened. So if we're being told to go and make disciples, that's what it's about. It is about teaching, but it's also about acting on it. It's about practicing it. It's about trying it together. It's about sometimes going out and seeing the, you know, incredible results. Other times we'll come back and go, it didn't work. But we're learning through failure and through success together what it means to live it out. So Matthew 28:19 doesn't say make followers, fill seats on a Sunday. It says make disciples, students, people who grow, people who want to grow because they want to be fruitful and effective and attractive for the kingdom. At the heart of it is people who want to know their stuff and know the world and know the scriptures and know people so that they can be effective for the kingdom. If all we do is applaud what Jesus did, but never grow to do what Jesus did, we're falling short of our purpose. We all applaud what Jesus did. But we're supposed to do what Jesus did. We're supposed to carry on his ministry. We're supposed to, Jesus was always training them and training us to do what he did, not just to believe what he believed or see what he saw. We're supposed to do what he did. So I think that's what real disciple making is. Now, there's a level to which church can't do all of that. So there's personal responsibility to grow ourselves, and church can't program that for you. I can't be in your house every week, sort of, you know, urging you on or preaching to you. There's a certain degree of personal seeking that happens in discipleship. But one church can put on a program of grow and say, why don't you come to this and do it together with others? Because that actually makes it really interesting and more fun. And that's why we have grow groups and grow programs and so on, because what we want to do is try and do that together. That leads me to my third and final verse about grow this morning, which is Acts 2:42. All the believers, say all the believers. There's something powerful about that, isn't there? Not some of the believers. All of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. This is the church that we all hold up as like, you know, if every church could be like Acts, the early church, it would be incredible. Well, it's really simple what happened in Acts, actually. It's not kind of actually that hard to achieve. It's just a sense that they loved being together. They delighted in one another and in the law of the Lord and in the teaching, and they grew together in the journey of what it was to be disciples. The most dynamic church the world has seen was devoted to growing before it did anything else. Before it did anything else, it was devoted to growing. You will become what you are devoted to. What you are devoted to. So they were devoted to teaching, fellowship, sharing in meals, and prayer. It's real simple. We could do that, couldn't we? We could be devoted to that. And it will transform us. Not in one night. If whoever's running, whether it's Barbara running a grow group or Ed and Annabelle or anybody else running a grow group, one night's not going to change your life. But imagine as you do that consistently, year upon year upon year, together. The effect that would have on your relationships, on your faith, on your knowledge, that program will help you. That program's there to help us. It's not there as an option to go, oh, it's actually there to facilitate that, all the believers were devoted to. Of course, we can't always make every night, we can't be at everything, but I want to really encourage you to consider your own personal growth. I want to encourage you to take it seriously, because God's got a purpose and a plan for you that relies on it. You won't be as attractive or as effective as you can be without a grow in your life. So, encounter, grow, go. You build your life around things that you value. Around things that you value. And things that you value, you prioritize. You prioritize. So you're looking at a Sunday morning. Some point, some part of the program, which is usually three nights a month, is the Grow program. Three Tuesdays or three Thursdays. And somewhere to serve. Somewhere to go. That still leaves you about five nights of the week for family, fun, date nights, bowling, cinema. We're not taking over your life with this program. But we are offering you, I think in a week, three things that help you to live big. And if that's carrying a cross, actually that's not that hard. So I want to encourage you with the strongest possible terms. Encounter, grow, go. Make those values and priorities in your life. Build your life around them. And then the rest of your life will be attractive and effective and fruitful because you are devoted to what God has called you to in your life. You can tell I love grow, can't you? Consider your own personal spiritual growth over the last year. Is it rising or has it been flatlining? What would it take to help you to move another level in your own growth? What do you need to do practically to help you to grow? Maybe you need to get a hold of your calendar and order your time by your values, not just your feelings or your circumstances, but the things you really want to prioritize. Maybe you need to buy that book that you've been meaning to buy for a while, or maybe you need to have a conversation with Ed and Annabelle and say, how can I be involved in the Grow program more? I want to encourage you to take away an action, to think about how you can grow yourself personally.